not ready with the intro.
We're not ready. What's up, you guys? Thanks for joining us for this episode of Drive with Woody Fit. I'm your host, Nate Woods.
With Megan Woods.
And Michael Stewart.
And we are mad excited about this episode.
Hula hula.
In this episode, you're such a douche. In this episode, we talk about how to not eat sweets. What should you do? We just got through the holidays, and some people are finding it hard to stay on track, Michael.
I ate organic Reese's.
I like how you justify it by saying organic. We talk about channeling your anger when you work out. We also go into an article about the low-fat scam. Has our government been lying to us?
Russia.
Dun, dun, dun.
Honestly, what the fuck is new there anyway? The exercise, never do this. I love how this article is titled Never Do This Exercise, but it's not even about a specific exercise. It's about a class of exercises.
Yeah.
So basically, never do this type of exercise. What could it be? Look into it. And then we answer a question from Tiffany about, can a rest day still be cardio? And we all give our opinions on that one. So without further ado, let's get into this episode of Drive with Woody Fit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, is that me? Am I the weird one? You're looking at me like
You've
that.
Always been the weird one.
Me? Really? You know what?
You and your Led Zeppelin t-shirt.
Yeah.
Not that they're bad or anything.
Does my microphone sound okay?
Yeah. Why?
Okay. To me, it kind of sounds muted. But maybe that's just me.
Not trying maybe to that's just to you.
Okay. I just want to make sure it was sounded okay.
It might just be you.
Okay.
He'll get really close and they get really far.
Hello, hello, hello.
Too close.
Hello, hello, hello.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know why you listen
to me. How's this week been for you guys?
Well, it's Monday, so...
Well, not this week, not this week.
Pretty easy.
Last week. How's last week been?
Pretty good. I started that new program. Yeah, it'll be getting closer.
Table's gonna fall.
I don't know why I did that weird noise. Yeah, I started that new program, and it went pretty well, except for the deadlifts. That was terrible.
What was bad about the deadlifts?
I tried going heavy, and my leg was not recovered or still healing, so it hurt. I kind of tweaked it a little bit. Like, I pulled up, I did one set, and it was fine, and then the second set, like, behind my knee did, like, a weird pop, and I was like,
oh, God.
Yeah, but ever since, I've been fine.
Speaking of knees popping, my knees have been popping lately, like which popping? Is not normal.
Is it, like, a cracking or, like an old man kind of knee pop?
No, it's like a popping how my shoulder has been popping.
I think for I know
years.
What you're
my shoulder's
about.
Been popping for years, yeah. And it's just like you feel it and it's like whatever, it doesn't hurt or anything. But I just noticed that my knee started popping, and one of my clients said to me, she was like, yeah, it's just the weather with it being as cold as it is. And I was like, well, I kind of see your point there, because with the cold, with, you know, when the cold sets in, and it's been pretty cold in the teens, and when that happens, you of course don't have as good blood flow as like when it's hot.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just you just naturally don't have as good blood flow. So I think that possibly there's like just a little bit less blood flow going to my knee or knees, and it might be causing pop. I don't know. I have no idea. And like I said to her, I was like, I'm a catastrophizer. So like, as soon as something like this happens, I'm like, oh my God, I need to stop powerlifting because it's the powerlifting that's ruining my joints. And like,
not necessarily.
Well, like long term, you don't really want to like powerlift long term.
True.
Cause like, I'm going to take that from the old heads that I've talked to who were like long time powerlifters who are now paying for it. Because they just beat up their body so bad for years and years. But, yeah, I'm not 100% sure why it's all... My knee's all weird lately.
Well, I had a good story. So, this past weekend, I had drill.
Sorry.
And I went to the gym Saturday after we got released. And I was actually going to drive 15 minutes to a Planet Fitness and then just pay like a drop-in rate since I don't have a membership with Planet Fitness, because I knew that the gym on post was going to be A, super packed, and B, super packed with a bunch of douchebags. And so then after we were released, I was like, I don't really feel like driving. I just want to get my workout done and be done with it. So I ended up just going to the gym on post. And there was a ton of people there, and B, a ton of douchebags there. And I was waiting for this.
Hence why I don't go to the gym on post.
Yeah. Well, lesson learned for me.
Yeah.
But I was waiting for, they only have one squat rack. So I was waiting for the guy doing deadlifts to get off so that I could do my deadlifts. And he wasn't getting off.
He was deadlifting in front of the squat rack.
Yeah.
Well, and they only have one barbell there.
Yes. Yes.
They literally have like one full barbell.
They have two benches with barbells.
True, but you know, on a drill weekend,
that everyone's at peak gym
times, everybody wants to bench.
Yes. So I went up to this guy and I was like, hey, like, how many more sets do you have? Because I wanted to know if I should just wait for him to be done or do other exercises and then just come back to deadlift. So I asked him, how many more sets do you have? And he was like, I don't know. And I was like,
what? Thanks, bro.
Yeah.
Thanks for being a douche.
I was like, how do you not know how many sets you have? Like, good, what are planning. You doing?
Yeah.
And then I rephrased the question and I was like, well, how much longer are you going to be on this machine or on this equipment? And he was like, oh, not that much longer. So I went and did cable. Actually, it was the machine row. It wasn't actually cables.
Mm-hmm.
So I was doing it. And this other guy from my unit was hovering over this one guy, clearly trying to use the equipment. And the guy was like, yeah, I'm done. And I was watching him. He was like, yeah, I'm done. And this guy from my unit just jumps right on it. And I was like, you son of a bitch.
Well, you know.
I was waiting for that.
Well, you kind of, I mean.
I screwed myself I feel over like, from going there.
Yeah. Well, like, common gym etiquette. Like, if I was the dude and, like, somebody came up to me and was like, hey, like, you know, how much longer do you have? And you came up to me and I was like, oh, not that longer. And you left. And then some other guy started waiting. I would say to the other guy, you know, she had come to ask me for it. Right. I don't know if she wants it now or not.
Like,
but
go check with her.
Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? I would just, like, at least let the guy know so that, like, you did your part of saying, like, yeah, like, she wants it. Right. And I'm not sure if she's going to be here ready. But, you know, at the same token, though, like, you move your feet, you lose your seat.
Well, the thing about it was I didn't want to hover over him. Like,
right. I didn't want to just stand there.
I didn't want to feel like I was just watching them work out.
Yeah.
Because you know how the military guys are. They're like, oh, this female's watching me lift. Oh,
well, I think that's like any. Sharp. I don't know yeah. if that's. Sharp. I don't know about that just being.
Well.
Military. I think that's like all females in general. Or all dudes in general. To be quite frank with you, I think that's all dudes in general.
What?
Is that a
Does
thing?
That apply to you?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Dude, like, no, listen. Like, if
wait a
I'm,
minute, what?
No, I know what you mean. I'm just
If
playing.
I'm crushing it and I notice somebody watching me.
You're going
to
crush
it I'm
going
to try to crush it harder. Yeah. Like,
no, I do the same
like,
thing.
Like, that motivates the shit out of me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't care, dude or a chick. Like, if I see somebody, like, creeping on me, yeah.
I just get annoyed. I'm like, stop looking at me, bro.
No, I'm like, watch this.
Yeah.
Watch this. You pull this.
Yeah.
Can you pull this? And like, that's just, I think that's just because I have a competitive nature. And like, I'm not like way out there where like, oh, I can hang with, you know, elite power lifters and elite strong. Like, you know, I realize my limitations. But like, if somebody who like I think might be stronger than me, or I think they look bigger than me, and they're watching me, that motivates me to hit, like, if I'm supposed to do three sets of three, it motivates me to make damn sure I'm going to pull three sets of three.
Mm-hmm.
And not just, like, wimp out, like, oh, you know, I'm going to stop early. I don't want to hurt myself. I'm going to stop early. Like,
or, like, I feel this kind of pain.
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah.
Really, it's just mental pain.
I mean, when I've been working out at the post gym for a while. 5 years, going on almost six years now, a few months away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not anything special. I honestly hate it.
I agree.
It's like, I don't know if you noticed, but it's like sloped.
Yes. Yeah. When I used like the sloped. Deadlift, when I had the deadlift and the bar on the ground,
it just kept rolling back towards you, didn't it?
I had to put like the 5 pounds on the actual ground to prevent it from rolling.
Yeah, just it's so frustrating.
I held it. I was like, all right.
Seriously?
No, dude, yeah. It's so frustrating. It's not really even flat. And, I mean, it's better. I would say it's better than a Planet Fitness because they have actual equipment. But the problem that you get, the thing that you get with that is you get the flood of everybody on a drill weekend that goes there and like wants to lift. And then like not only do you get the hardcore people who are like, yeah, like I'm a lifter, and like they go regularly and they know what they're doing. And then you get the people that are like, oh, I'm a drill weekend and I failed my PT test last month, so I'm super motivated to go to the gym. And then they go to the gym with their buddy who is like a gym addict. And then it's just like, it just turns into total fuckery.
Yeah.
And it's really frustrating.
And it's a whole bunch of time wasting.
It's really frustrating. I can't tell you how many times I've walked in there, started a workout, and just said, fuck it, I'll take the week off.
I actually considered that. After, like, I did lat pull downs and cable rows, I was about to say, like, screw this, I'll just, like, walk on the treadmill or something.
Yeah.
Or just go to Planet Fitness.
Mm-hmm.
But then I just started feeling hungry, and I was like, well, if I leave, I'm going to get food. Mm-hmm. So.
And honestly, even though the equipment is better than Planet Fitness, I would rather go to Planet Fitness than go there.
Agreed.
Even though, like,
at least there's two of everything or three of something instead of just one squat rack.
One squat rack. And, like, with the space that they have, I get it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you can't have a bajillion things in a tiny space. Like, I get it. But on the other token, like, that, it's not, it's a decent sized post. There's a lot of people there. I feel
like. Exactly. They should upgrade.
Right. Like, maybe not have an entire.
That would be nice.
Like, just expand the building a little bit. Expand it into the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whatever.
Yeah, they got parking on the side.
No, I totally think that. It's not the best gym, but, I mean, and that's the thing. Like,
my voice didn't come out, so I was like, whatever.
That's the thing. Like, when you are in a situation like that, you have to make do with what's available. And, I mean, I've been spoiled having a home gym. Mm-hmm. I can work out whatever time I want to and walk into an empty gym.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is so nice. And then when I get in, put in a situation like that, it's very easy for me to just say, screw it, I'll take the day off. Because I know I'm only going to be a drill for 2 days. So, you know, I'll just work out when I get home.
Mm.
And, like, I know what I want to do is I'm going to be able to do it because it's there.
Right.
So, like, I don't have to deal with, oh, this guy's on the rack and I need to use the rack. Like, no, I just say, screw it, I'll take the day off. And so I think that when that's a regular everyday thing for you, you need to learn to be flexible with your routine you know what I mean? And like, okay, so like tough, I was supposed to deadlift first thing today, but I can't get on a barbell right now, so I'm gonna do this instead. And the 1 week, Mike, you did that, and you did, like, you weren't able to bench
no deadlift.
Was it deadlifting? Because I remember you talked about doing a really good warm-up.
Oh, that was benching.
Was it benching?
Monday. Yeah, it took forever.
And nice. You talked about doing a really good warm-up because you couldn't get on a bench, and then you ended up having a good session.
Yeah, it was a really good, yeah.
And I was like, see, that's what warming up does.
But I'm doing, like, a nice warm-up with benching now, like a really good warm-up.
Good.
Yeah, you were on the bench today for a long time.
Well, I was counting. I was actually doing like the two and a half to 3 minute break or rest.
Oh, were you?
Like sometimes
I just.
Well,
just felt like you were on there for twice as long as my deadlifts.
I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you.
Why are you apologizing?
Yeah.
I'm sorry for benching so much. You're turning into a bro.
It was bad. I went up to 195 for five sets of five. Yeah.
You did 5x5 at 195.
Yeah, except for that last one. I won't lie, I don't think I got it just because I was like, I asked Megan the...
You were like 3/4 of the way there.
Yeah.
So stay at that weight.
No, I was really good. Like every single time I got it except for the last set because I just felt like I asked Megan to spot me and then like I was like, all right, well, I got to go hard because Megan's here. So I was like 1, 2, 3 and like burned out and I was like, fuck. So like barely got 4 and then 5 was just like this slow.
Your face turned redder than an orange.
Yeah, it was just like
redder than a tomato.
It was a grinder, and I just sat there and I was like, oh my god. And then my pec started getting hard and I was like, I don't want to cramp. And I was like, Meg. It was bad.
There you go. What up, it's Michael.
Led Zeppelin.
No, all right, I can get everybody. kind of. Almost get everybody.
You have to do quick switch.
I forget what I was going to say. Now I started fucking with my phone. I forget what I was going to say.
Let's see. Warm up, benching, waiting, tough stuff.
Well, yeah. So five, you had a really good warm up.
Yeah.
You had a really good warm up because somebody was on the bench and you couldn't get on the bench.
Yeah, but I don't like, you were saying something about like being flexible, but I don't.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
being...
yeah. That's it. So when you're in that situation, killer, bro, when you're in that situation and it's an everyday thing that you have to adjust what you're doing on the fly. I gotta move some of this stuff. All right, that you have to adjust what you're doing on the fly, because it's crowded. Then being more flexible, being flexible is that much more important,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, you might have a routine where you're supposed to start with deadlifts, and then move on to back accessories, let's say, and if you can't deadlift, like, oh fuck, what are you gonna do? Like, if that's like you're the be all end all, like, I have to do it this way, well, you're screwed, bro.
Yeah.
Like, or the better thing to do is just prime the body before even deadlifting. And this is like assuming you have a bunch of time. If you're tight on time, then you might have to change up everything.
Right.
But like, if you have enough time to wait for somebody to finish deadlifting so that you can deadlift, then really prime the body, like prime the hamstrings, the glutes, the back, you know, the upper back, the shoulders, like get all of the muscles that are going to be incorporated in the deadlift ready to work.
Right.
You know what I mean? Doing like a light rows, really focusing on the shoulder retraction, even some external rotation, really like kind of not static stretch in the hamstrings, but dynamic stretching on the hamstrings,
mm-hmm.
to get everything ready to go and kind of use that as like, oh, I'm just killing time before a bar opens up for me to be able to deadlift or a platform opens up for me to deadlift on.
Yep.
The other side of it is working in with people. You know, that's not a...
I love doing that.
What, working in with people?
Yeah, I had that happen. I had that happen twice now. Like,
one
last
time it
week
was
and
with me.
2 weeks ago. Wait, what?
That one girl that we were doing the cable flies.
Oh,
and
that
she
was
like,
time.
Oh, can I join? And I was like, no.
Yeah, well, I was doing dips and one guy was like, hey, can I join? And I was like, yeah. I was like, oh, I got a workout, buddy. Yeah. I was like, I'm excited.
Of course you can.
Yeah, but he like did his reps and like left. And I was like, oh, I'm alone. I was like, I was hoping for a chat or something. Like, whatever.
Yo, I'm going to move this real quick.
The stand.
Yeah, it'll just be me and Michael. Me and Michael on camera. Sorry, Meg.
That's cool.
If you want the limelight, you can have it at some point.
Okay.
Nah, I was going to say turn it, but I don't think it's going
to
work.
So for all of you who are listening to this, we're currently live streaming this episode on Facebook. And we pretty much post regularly, almost daily. Sometimes life and drill gets in the way, but we pretty much post daily on Facebook. So our Facebook page is Executive Fit LLC. Facebook.com/ExecutiveFitLLC.
Or just
search Executive Fit LLC.
Don't make it
in Facebook. And we post regular content there, stuff that will really help out with your workouts, making your workouts better, some little bit of nutrition stuff and whatnot. But you know, speaking of nutrition, that was a good segue right there.
Yeah.
Speaking of nutrition, we just got out of the holidays, and a lot of people struggled with eating sweets and not eating sweets and trying to not eat sweets.
Mm.
And it's very difficult for a lot of people. I mean, fuck, I have a sweet tooth. Like, I can kill a bag of gummy bears. I love gummy bears, right?
Gummy bears,
Kit Kats, and paydays. I can kill them.
Oh, I love
paydays.
I can kill those.
Paydays are good.
So
we should get a payday on our way home.
No, I'll probably get more Reese's Cups.
Well,
organic Reese's cups.
They make organic Reese's cups. Did you know this?
They're pretty good. They're not bad. It's like
Michael,
butter.
So what did you do? Since we're on the topic of candy, talk about what you just did with the Justin's Reese's cups and the Reese's cups.
Oh, yeah. I compared them. So, like, the organic one, the peanut butter's, like, nice gooiness. I don't even know how to explain it.
My mouth is watering.
It's so good.
It literally looks like melted peanut butter.
Yeah. And then the chocolate, I didn't even explain the chocolate to you guys. The chocolate It's kind of like when you freeze chocolate for a little bit, and when you bite it, it like kind of chips off. Mm-hmm. And it's that nice chocolate. Yeah.
Like high quality chocolate.
And then it just melts in your mouth with the peanut butter, and it's like. But then the Reese's then tastes like fake, and I was like, oh my God, I think I like the organic one better. I know people are going to hate that, but.
Yo, get on the organic Reese's peanut butter cups. We should get in touch with the company. We should get in touch with the company, have them sponsor us.
Yeah, at Justin's.
Yo, anyway, look them up. Since we're talking about dealing with sweets and cravings and whatnot, a lot of times, like, some of my clients really struggle with, you know, like, once they go off the boat, once they get off the boat and, like, you know, they eat a cheat meal or they eat shit they're not supposed to eat, they, like...
It's hard to get back on.
Right, like, and some of them beat themselves up over it. And I'm like, you need to stop beating yourself up. Like, number one, tomorrow's another day. So, like, if you fuck up today, it's okay because you still have tomorrow, right? Like, you screwed up. Oh, well. You know what I'm saying? Like, you come home from work, your wife made brownies. I'm like, well, if you have a brownie, it's okay, right? Like, and you got to look at the big picture and make sure that you're not, this is not a chronic thing. And that's why tracking your food is so important. And looking back at the end of each week, like, oh, what did I do this week? What could I have done better, right? And then improve on it on next week. But, like, the bigger thing is when that happens and you go off the rails, right? Number one, don't beat yourself up over it, okay? Because you're not going to achieve anything with a negative mindset. Like, you have to keep a positive mindset. And you got to recognize that when you're binge eating, it's totally different. And you can tell, it's very easy to tell when you're binge eating because you just eat and eat and eat and eat and eat. And you're not even hungry at a certain point. Like you enjoy the first couple things that you eat. Like I've done this with chocolate. Somebody gave me and Nikki this, like, I love chocolate too. Somebody gave me and Nikki this this box of, like, French chocolate for Christmas.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's like high quality chocolate, and I'll have like one or two, and like I really enjoy it while I'm like watching TV or something, and I just keep going and I keep going and I keep going and I keep going, and then all of a sudden I'm like, fuck, I just ate 12 of these pieces of chocolate. And, like, I wasn't even enjoying 10 of them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Oh, so, yeah, your stomach starts hurting?
Yeah, your stomach starts hurting. You're like, fuck, why did I do that? So, like, number one, you got to recognize, and you're not going to be able to recognize it until you do it. And then after the fact, be like, oh, fuck, that was a binge eating.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, after you do it a couple times, you'll be able, eventually, then you can be like, okay, like, you can recognize it in the moment and cut it off. Be like, am I really hungry or am I just, like, bored eating right now? So you'll be able to figure that out and, like, cut that off.
Mm-hmm.
And taking instead of there. So there's mindset plays a massive role with this, too. So, like, beating yourself up is a very negative mindset. OK, so you want to keep a positive mindset on that aspect of things, and don't beat yourself up when you fuck up. You fucked up. It's OK. Everybody fucks up.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But a better way to prevent yourself from fucking up is not having the mindset of what you had today. Now. And you're looking confused right now, but I'm going to explain to you a little bit what I'm talking about. So when I texted you, when we were texting earlier today, and I was telling you what we're having for dinner, like, yeah, we're having lasagna for dinner. And you were like, okay, well, I can't have lasagna, so I'll just bring what I'm going to eat. I'm like, all right, that's cool. You know, whatever. We're still going to, you know, Nikki's still going to make the lasagna, and I'm going to eat that. And if you want to bring food, you're more than welcome to. It doesn't offend me, whatever. Do your thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that you said I can't.
It's the gluten, though.
Right, so...
I can't have the gluten.
Because it fucks with you a little bit.
And I don't want to risk it. I could probably honestly eat it and be fine.
Okay.
I would rather just play it safe and not have a stomach ache throughout doing this podcast.
Right, right.
So...
But the thing that I'm saying with that is that mindset of I can't. Right? I can't. What you're basically telling yourself is, no, you're not allowed to do this. You can't do this. So don't do it. Right? And then... When we're told we can't do something, what do we want to do?
We want to do it.
We want to do exactly the thing that we are not supposed to do.
I would argue especially in my circumstance, like if I eat that stuff, sure, I love lasagna. I would have loved to have some of Nikki's lasagna.
Garfield.
But I know that there's...
Sorry, I said Garfield.
But I know that there's a negative feeling after I eat it. And it's not like I feel bad about myself.
Right,
it's
right.
physical
and,
pain.
Right, but the point that I'm, like, with you in particular, I'm only pointing you out because of what you said. It's a prime example of what people say when they're trying to go on a lower calorie diet, watch what they eat, is, oh, I can't have that. I can't. And psychologically, you're going to make yourself, you're going to kind of set yourself up to fail eventually when you say, I can't. Because by human nature, we want to do the thing that we're not supposed to do. That's just human nature.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, take the approach of, I don't want that because I know when I eat it, I know how it interacts in my body. I know what it's going to do to my body. And I don't want that to happen. Mm-hmm. I don't want those consequences.
Right.
So I'm choosing not to eat that, right? It's not, oh, I can't eat that because I'm the fitness guy. It's not, I'm choosing not to eat that because I understand what's going to happen in my body when I eat it. And that's that. Like, that's the best mindset to take because that's going to help to set you up for success, right? Of course, anybody can break that. You know, I'm not saying that's the bulletproof plan. You still have to have discipline. You still have to be consistent. But taking that mindset instead of the I can't eat that mindset is going to help you in the long run, especially if you're a beginner. So the other side of that, so kind of retracing steps a little bit, going back to like when you fall off the boat, beating yourself up over it, it's okay to sway from your guidelines and what you're supposed to do, right? And when you find it hard to always say no to desserts and ice cream and cookies and Cracker Jacks and all the different types of desserts, when you find it hard to say no, say yes. And this might sound counterintuitive, but the next time it happens, if you say no initially and then you end up caving, and you do it anyway, and then you beat yourself up over it, next time what I want you to do is say yes, okay? And enjoy, fully enjoy, without any regrets, whatever it is that you're enjoying. Potatoes, whatever it is.
Hash browns.
Okay? Now, I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking, like,
you're hypothetically. You're speaking to the general public.
Yeah. I'm speaking to general pop. People who are struggling with foods they know they should not be eating. And so what you want to do is you want to say yes. And no, in your head, when you say yes, next time, I'm going to say no. And then when that next time comes around, you say no, and you think back to the last time when you said yes, and you said, okay, last time I said yes, so this time I agreed with myself that I'm going to say no, I'm not going to do it, because I enjoyed it last time. Then also make a mental note that next time that something happens, I'm going to say yes, mm-hmm. and I'm going to indulge.
And
right?
Yeah.
And then you slowly build up over time the amount of no's that are between each yes. Because Ooh. So this is good for, this is not just like, oh, like, you're going to lose fat super fast. Like, this is, because fitness is a lifelong thing, you need to make habits that will last you a long time. And this is a habit that will last you a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So saying no, and then knowing you're going to say yes, and then over time slowly increasing the amount of no's between each yes, is going to help you tip the scale to be saying no more than you're saying yes,
right.
but still be able to enjoy without regrets.
Mm-hmm. And I would even go a step further in saying, like, if you say yes, instead of having a whole cookie, have a half.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're still getting that craving. You're still getting that satisfaction of...
that dopamine release sweet.
You're still getting it, but instead of 100 calories, you're only doing 50 calories. Or, like, instead of 5 grams of carbs, you're only getting 2.5 grams of carbs. So it still fits within your macros kind of thing.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't even go there and say fits within your macros because that whole concept of implementing chocolate chip cookies into your diet because it fits your macros is flawed. But I got your point.
Right.
Though. I got your point.
So at least you're still getting the satisfaction.
Yeah. You can indulge, but you're like limiting.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are having trouble limiting, then you don't want to indulge. I think it's better if you have trouble limiting to do the yes, no variation than it is to just say yes every time, but limit it.
Right.
Because if you can't limit yourself, then you have no business saying yes.
Or if you always say, yeah, I'll only have a half. That's not saying no. That's still saying yes.
Right.
So you're eventually not teaching yourself how to say no. You're right. Always saying yes. And then exactly. You justify.
Yes. Then you justify those actions. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's really good. I like that.
Boom.
All right, let's shift gears a little bit and talk about how Michael was super angry at the gym.
Oh.
All right. So I was at work. Was I at work? I think I was at work. I might have been at home. I might have been at home. Yeah, Michael went on this massive, rant.
I'm gonna be about honest. The gym. I actually thought that it was like an appreciation text.
And then you
sent
read
to the wrong group chat because I saw how long it was, and I was like, "Oh, he sent like something nice to me." And then I realized, "Oh shoot, maybe he sent it to the wrong." And then I was like, "Oh, okay, this is not what I thought it was."
That's so funny. Yeah. No, so Michael sent this like big long book in our group text.
It was like a novel.
And
all right.
Why don't you go into that? Because I think there's some serious validation.
Wait, which one? I think I sent two, right?
I think it was last Monday. I think it was a week ago when you couldn't get on the bench.
No, that was the deadlift one is when I really went off.
Okay.
So say that
one. Go into that one then.
I don't know what the other one was then. I forget.
I think I'm pretty sure the other one was bench. It was when you were benching.
Oh, yeah, the deadlift one. So I thought I had like about an hour and a half for the gym before I had a work meeting. And then, you know, I didn't feel like going after the work meeting because the gym would close. So before, I was like, I can make it. So I get there, and it's packed. It's got the New Year, New Me people. You know, those people that freaking bug you so much.
Which, lame.
It's dying out now, you can tell. You're
like, oh, yeah.
Finally.
I even told, in a separate text that Michael and I were having, I even told him that come, like, a couple of weeks in February, or at the latest February, the gym was going to go back down to normal. Because these people are going to...
Soon.
Yeah. Anyway, continue.
Yeah, anyway, so I was trying to get a deadlift, and I wasn't being flexible with my workout. I was like, I need a deadlift first. So I was like, I'll warm up, and it was like 10 minutes gone by, and I like looked at all the squat racks and the bars, and I was like, all right, still taken. Same people, just kind of like chatting with people, sitting on their phones. I was like, all right, I'll just give them like 5-10 more minutes. I'll warm up more, and then that goes by, and I'm like getting pretty pissed now, and like 10 more minutes, so it's like 30 minutes all together now, and I'm like, all right, this is annoying. So I like just, I did cable rows, and then I just got annoyed, and I was like, I just want to do deadlifts, and like freaked out, and like went into the locker room, packed up and left, and then went to my work meeting and ate like 7 pieces of pizza.
Wait, I thought we were talking about the time that you got super angry and then you killed it.
Oh, wait, that? Are you talking about deadlifting?
Where I got the PR? I'm talking about the time where you killed it after, because you got pissed off because of all the new people there, and then you channeled that anger into your workout.
Oh, my gosh. When was that?
That was a while ago.
No, I think I was saying, that was a rant as well. I think I was saying, not that I was mad, it's just like I was channeling my anger of that day into a different workout, and like that would pump me up for that lift, and I could lift more.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, it's kind of like when your kid gets trapped in their car, you get that like insane, like
you get that adrenaline rush,
and you just like lift, and that's pretty much what it was. It was like I can just like really pump myself up by like thinking of like the angry thoughts or like bad things that happened in my life, and it like helps me lift and like perform better. And then you guys said that you have different ways of doing it as well, right?
Yeah, because for me personally, it's kind of like, Nate, you're the same way. You literally said it in the right words in the text, but you stand back, you visualize yourself doing the lift, and then you're quiet before you actually make the lift. Mm-hmm. You visualize, then you actually do the lift, and then you get like hyped up and you shout and you're like, yeah, that was awesome, like, or whatever. That's what I do.
Okay. Yeah, so it really depends on what I'm doing. When I'm doing like maximal strength shit, I have to hype myself up a little bit, and that means, you know, music has to be a certain way. You know, my approach to whatever lift I'm doing has to be a certain way. There's a little bit of a ritual that I follow before every lift. And I try to keep everything the same, even, you know, like even the same type of setup when I'm deadlifting 135 is the same type of setup you'll see when I'm pulling over 400.
If you miss a step, does it mess you up?
Yes.
Oh, one of those guys. Yeah.
OCD. And, I wouldn't call it OCD. I would just call it like muscle memory. Okay. Type thing where you kind of like do the same thing over and over and over again, and it just becomes a part of who you are, kind of. So
that's why I would say being flexible with the workouts is tough for like me, because it's always start with this,
right,
and don't start with anything else,
right, and it's always start with the your compound lift. So in particular, deadlifts, I'm just going to talk on deadlifts because I've been really focusing on my deadlift. And because it's such a compound movement and it's so difficult, it's just a massive movement. I think that what has really been helping me recently is my setup. Like I said, maintaining my setup, everything is the same, but also, you know, when I go to set up, taking the time to calm myself and close my eyes and visualize myself stepping forward and going through the routine that I always go through, taking the breath at the top, latching my right hand first, then my left hand, sinking my butt down, making sure I have a straight head, neck, and spine, and then just generating as much power as I can. But, you know, you can't, I've really felt like you can't go from a super relaxed state to a state of generating as much power as you can without something in between there. And a lot of times what I put in between those two, like, those two states of being is I will just yell and I won't go crazy. It's not super wild. And I don't do it before every single lift. You know, you see me screaming before I pick up 135 on my warm-ups. but like,
it'd be like, okay, guy, calm down. Take it easy,
bro. I think what is happening, the whole physiological process that's happening is, you know, I'm calming myself down. I'm kind of letting, I mean, I don't think my parasympathetic nervous system is taking over in that short amount of time, but I'm kind of calming down and letting I'm imagining my parasympathetic nervous system taking over. And then as soon as I get out of it, I snap myself out of it by screaming and giving that yell and kind of tensing my whole body at the same time to kind of prime my central nervous system and the sympathetic nervous system to kind of turn on and just tell my body, like, it's time to go. And then after that, I'm already amped up. So it's just bend down. It's just go through your routine and just try to, as soon as you start pulling, generate as much force as you can, pushing through the floor and just like get to the top of the lift. And then there's other extrinsic motivation that helps me. Like if there's a crowd, you know, I guess you could say I'm a little bit of a showboat, because if there's a crowd, I get an adrenaline release that I cannot emulate by myself.
Or even if you think that people are watching, or even like, if that's you for think, me. Exactly. Like, I have a problem. Sometimes I feel almost uncomfortable having a home gym or having my own personal gym where no one else is watching me, because I like that aspect. I like being like, okay, maybe they aren't actually watching you, but maybe they are. And then it's like, ooh, someone's watching.
So here's my argument with that. The reason I like training alone where nobody is watching me is because then I have all of this untapped potential when I'm in a public setting. Like when we had our deadlift party at work and I pulled 465, that was a 30-pound PR for me. And going into I did 455 minutes before that. Right, like 2 minutes before I pulled I only rested for like 2 minutes that day. So I went in and pulled 455 and, of course, warmed up to it and pulled 455. But it was a very competitive session because one of the guys that I work with said he could out deadlift me. And I was like, let's go, bro. Like, I will put you into the ground with this. And like, I was confident because I knew who he was and I knew he couldn't. Right. But he's just a very cocky dude. And, you know, he had a lot of self-confidence and felt like he could beat me. He called me out and I said, let's go. And So going into it, I already had that competition mindset because I was like, it's me and you, bro. And like, I'm going to beat you. Right. And like, I told everybody there that like, you know, I my goal is to hit a PR, but like my goal is to make sure that this motherfucker didn't beat me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, especially because he doesn't lift.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I end up building up to 405 and I pull 405 for one and I forgot the 10s. At home, so the only thing I could do was throw 25s on. The only thing above 405 was 25s on each side, which is 455. So I was like, you know what? I'm going for it. Like, it'll be an all-time PR. And if you watch the video, the shit moved like butter. The shit flew up.
Mm-hmm.
And then right after that, everybody was like, oh, it was too easy. You got to go for another one. So I was like, all right, let's do 465. And I mean, 465 felt slow as fuck. But, like, everybody was watching. As soon as I started pulling it, everybody started yelling. So, like, that in itself, that external motivation just, like, sparked that that adrenaline release in midst of a lift. And, you know, even if you watch the video of 465, it moved up real quick. So I'm definitely going to argue with you on training your regular every day and knowing people are watching. It's mm-hmm. like you can become insensitive to that adrenaline release when you know people are watching all the fucking time. And then you go compete and people are watching and it's no different than when you're training. But when you train in the garage by yourself, nobody's watching. And then all of a sudden you stand in front of a crowd of 30, 40, 50 people and everybody's cheering. You're going to get an adrenaline release that it is probably physically impossible for you to emulate on a regular day-to-day training basis.
Interesting.
And that's just my opinion,
yeah, right? Of
course. Like, I don't have any facts to back this up. I don't have any scientific studies to back this up. This is just from what I've experienced from spending time working out in a gym and also working out at home mm-hmm. by myself.
Yeah. I've never competed and I've never been in a situation where, like, even if it's a little competition or whatever, so I'd be interested to see if your theory is true,
mm-hmm.
how it could play out with me or Michael or Joe Schmo,
anybody
or,
else,
or
right,
anybody,
right.
It doesn't matter.
Well, I think we should hook you up. I think we should set you up in one.
No.
Ooh, yeah, Megan, I think you should do a powerlifting meet.
Because you were talking about doing a meet like over almost a year ago now.
Yeah, I thought about it. Now I have, like, injuries.
Yeah, so like but they're not that bad.
And you only lift it for one rep.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Well, actually, you end up doing 9 reps.
I mean, I can't. So. I'm actually injured, so.
You actually tore your meniscus, so.
Yeah, so, you know, I have an excuse to not lift heavy.
Michael, I'm injured. I can't do anything.
You just have an excuse to skip leg day so you can build your chest now.
Well, I actually still do leg day, though.
All right, so.
It hurts. It's more like my booty. My booty felt it the most.
Did you guys read the article that I sent you about the fat lie?
You said you only sent it to Megan.
Oh, really? I thought I sent it in the group chat.
No, because I asked you directly.
Oh, that's right, because I was driving when I sent it.
And...
Oh, I totally just admitted to this.
Whoa, everyone, put everything down. Rewind. We just talked about Justin's peanut butter cups. Michael goes on his Instagram... Frickin' Justin's peanut butter cups is an ad on his Instagram.
Listen, this is a thing. Our phones are listening to us.
And I just wasted.
Well, wait, before we go
it.
Any farther, I searched this. I was just showing you.
Wow. Yeah.
Megan's like, hold your phone.
But it does happen. It does happen.
Ugh,
not necessarily that quickly.
Oh, look how good it looks. Ooh.
I'm not going to lie. These Justin's peanut butter cups look amazing.
Dude, right? Oh my gosh.
We do look amazing. All right, so this article is titled, "We're All Guinea Pigs in a Failed Decades-Long Diet Experiment."
Just pooping everywhere.
Did you read the article, Meg?
Not all of it. I read some of it. But I kind of knew, like, from my general knowledge, that fats, the general word fats, have become negative in our mm-hmm. society
mm-hmm.
when, in fact, they're very necessary to build mm-hmm. muscle and burn fat
and protect your organs.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So basically, I'm not going to go super in depth with this article, but basically the article talks about how the government's recommendations on like how much fat you should eat was not based, and how we need to eat low-fat diets to lose weight was not based on hard evidence. And it was all based on basically feathers of evidence. And now it's coming to light. I mean, fuck, 10 years ago, childhood obesity was, like, barely unheard of, right? Like, it was rare.
Obesity now in general was
unheard of. Yeah, like, 10, 20 years ago, it was, like, very rare. Now it's a fucking epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, child obesity is a fucking epidemic. And we're eating these low-fat diets. And it's just not working. And one of the points they make in the article is, you know, if you're hungry, right, and you could choose between, like, low-fat milk and full-fat milk, which would you choose? And they say that commonly they would, well, okay, if that was the only, if it was, okay, fuck you.
thanks, man.
If you had to choose between low-fat milk and full-fat milk.
I'd say full-fat.
The difference, you know, yeah. People are going to be like, oh, it's low-fat, so it's going to help me lose weight. No, but the good thing about the full-fat milk is because it's full-fat, it will keep you fuller longer. Therefore, cutting down cravings.
Right.
You drink the low-fat milk, it's not going to fill you up as much, and you're going to be, maybe you're hungry another 20, 30 minutes. But you drink a whole cup of full-fat milk, and chances are you'll probably be full for a good hour. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is, of course, all hypothetical, but it makes more sense to go with the full-fat milk because it's going to fill you up.
Yep.
You're going to feel fuller. You're not going to be hungry in 20 minutes.
Yep.
And so we've basically demonized fat in our society, but, you know, fat is absolutely essential for hormone regulation. And that's just one of the major functions that fat plays a role in the body. And if our body can't regulate our own hormones, that's going to throw everything else out of whack. You know, you're going to be craving foods that you know you shouldn't be eating, that is not going to help you, you could develop low testosterone, low estrogen, you know, you could develop an insulin insensitivity,
mm-hmm.
you know, all of these crazy things that can happen from not being able to regulate your hormones, from having a massive fat deficiency. And, you know, there's good fats and there's bad fats. And, you know, we've been led to believe that butter is bad for you, but it's not. Butter is not bad for you. And now, of course,
it's tasty.
And it's very tasty. Everything in moderation, of course. If you're eating a stick of butter a day, that's probably not the best thing.
That's probably why they say it's bad, because people would just, like, drop the whole thing.
Oh, right. Put a whole stick of butter in your mashed potatoes or your baked potato. Yeah. Top it with some bacon bits.
I mean, it tastes good. It tastes so good, though.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, you're
trolling.
And I'd like to get a registered dietitian or somebody on the show to talk about this.
Matthew's wife, Elise.
Oh, no shit.
She's a registered dietitian.
Okay, let's get her on the show.
Who's Matt?
Our cousin.
He's our cousin.
Matthew. Oh, sorry, Rock. Shout out Matthew.
Not a fan.
we'll have to get her on the show then.
Yeah, I have her email, so you should shoot her an email.
All right, I'll shoot her an email. But I think we should talk about this more in depth with an RD because, that's right, RD, registered dietitian. Okay, yeah.
I think so.
I'm pretty sure. But I think we should talk about it a little bit more. We'll do an interview with her and we'll get that all set up because I think it's important to know that fat is not a bad thing. Right? We need it for hormone regulation. You know, and part of the reason that it was demonized is because fat has nine calories per gram while carbohydrates and protein only have 4. But here's what happens. You know, let's say let's say Joe Schmo's eating a 2,000 calorie diet, right? And you got to eat low fat. And let's say you're only getting 10% of your calories from fat. Okay? So that means 200 calories is from fat, right? So you have only 200 calories from fat. Well, now you need 1,800 calories from protein and carbs. And given the fact that most Americans massively undereat on protein, what is that going to be filled up with?
Carbs. I mean, I think regular diet is more carbs than protein.
What do you mean?
Like, it's like 10 to 20% for fat, and then it's like...
What do you mean by regular diet?
Oh, like the 2,000 calorie diet.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Like the government's recommendations.
Yeah.
That's the other thing, though, is the government doesn't really know what the fuck they're doing because they're recommending us to eat low fat based on zero scientific evidence. And like the article says, we're all just a bunch of guinea pigs. So
yep.
I think we'll definitely get
I just sent you her email.
Yeah, I saw. I think we'll definitely get Elise on the show.
Elisa.
Yeah. Eliza?
It's Elisa. E-L-I-S-A. Elisa.
Eliza. We'll have to get her on the show.
Yeah, definitely.
But what about the other article? What did you like about that?
Well, to be honest, like, I read it, and then, oh, shoot, I actually wanted to pull it up. I read it, and then I was like, shoot, I did this today in my own workout.
What did you do?
Bicep curls, because I was doing back and biceps.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to take the driver's seat on this one. So basically what this article is trying to argue is that I am talking into it.
Now you are.
So the title of this article is "The 5 Worst Exercise Mistakes That Are Destroying Your Metabolism, Keeping You Flabby, Weak, and Injury Prone." So to really sum it all up,
sorry.
Kind of like what, I mean, Nate talks about this all the time, compound movements versus isolated movements. Whereas compound movements are movements that incorporate several muscle groups into one, several
joints.
I thought it was
I'm just totally fucking everything up right now.
All right, muscle groups and joints into one movement, whereas an isolated movement, it's only working an isolated muscle. So it's like one muscle, one joint. Okay, Nate's making faces at me. It's kind of freaking me out. Anyway, so they were saying in this article that the isolated movements, which is pretty much what a lot of people do and what a lot of people actually, personally, that I see at the gym. Also, this Gymshark girl at the gym this morning, Michael.
Gymshark.
A whole bunch of isolated movements. #Gymshark. Which may keep her super, you have great muscle endurance and
doing that specific exercise.
And super toned. But it,
but you ain't thick.
Not even super toned.
Okay, just so maybe a little toned. But she's not
right, because you're doing
she's
something.
Not going to gain muscle mass or lose
or
a whole
seriously
bunch of
burn fat. Right, yeah. Exactly.
So this article is talking about how instead of doing all of these isolated movements, you should focus on the compound movements in order to build lean muscle and get toned and fit.
And it also goes over the 5 worst exercise mistakes. It's not giving you exercise. It just it kind of breezes over.
At the end of the article, it does.
Does it go?
It does. Yeah. So if you actually scroll all the way down to the bottom, the author says if you're a man, click this. This is certain exercises that you can do, and if you're a woman, this is a certain exercises that you can do. Which technically, I don't really agree with. I didn't click on them to see if they were different, but a body is a body.
It's a click funnel. So,
wait, is it saying
it's a click funnel?
Is it saying like try to stay away from isolated exercises?
Isolated exercises.
And do more compound?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What can you do
and now,
compound and isolated? A little bit?
Yes,
of both?
Yes. So here's my thing with this. I think this article is mainly speaking to the general population of people who are just getting started.
Right.
Like, if you're somebody like one of us, where it's already a lifestyle, you know, you're following a regimen, a very specific program to reach a very specific goal, that's a little bit different. But I think what this article is really speaking to is people who are just getting into it. You know, everybody knows how to do a bicep curl.
Right.
Right? Every dude knows how to do a bicep curl just because they're a dude. Right?
And every girl,
it's like a dude thing.
And every girl knows how to do a hip thrust.
Because they're a chick.
Because like, they want a big butt.
Right, exactly. So my point with that is I think that what this article is mainly speaking to people who are beginning, who are kind of maybe just watching the bodybuilder videos on Instagram or the fit pro videos on Instagram and Facebook, and just kind of seeing the isolation exercises they're doing and then just emulating that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's right. Like you have to do, you have to do these compound exercises. Now, why don't we go through the 5 mistakes? Because I think that's really big because these are very common things. These are extremely common things that
we all see.
That almost every single beginner and people that don't really, really know what they're doing program-wise are doing.
Right. So the first mistake is doing ow, sorry, my back cramped, doing long bouts of cardio. And it says here, I'm reading this from the article, steady state cardio, like doing a jog, like jogging, running, doing the elliptical, it increases the production of a stress hormone called cortisol. Now, we've talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
And cortisol causes weight gain and makes it more difficult to burn off stubborn belly fat.
Excess cortisol. Now, cortisol is a feel-good hormone, right? It helps to wake you up in the morning, and it is a feel-good hormone. And it is essential for normal bodily function, right? Without it, we would barely wake up in the morning, mm-hmm. right? That's why for some people who are very go, 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 may find it hard to wake up in the morning because they may be, like, they have a cortisol deficiency, right? Their body's not producing enough cortisol.
Mm-hmm.
People who are regular, who are very regular with doing high intensity interval training may be addicted. We talked about this on episode 49.
Mm-hmm.
May be addicted to the cortisol release mm-hmm. from those high intensity interval trainings. So cortisol is an essential hormone. I don't want to demonize it because I think it has been kind of demonized in the fitness world, but
to this extent, right?
And I think what's a little bit easier for people to understand, instead of saying, oh, you're spiking cortisol when you do long bouts of cardio, I think a little bit easier concept to understand is the fact that you're not sending the right signal to your body. You know, whenever you put your body under a stress, you're sending it a signal, right? So right now, me and Michael are sitting on the couch, and we're pretty much sedentary, and this is sending a signal to our bodies, right? Like, we're all sitting right now. So we're all sending a certain signal to our body because sitting is a stressor. It may not be hard. It's easy to sit, but it's still a stressor that sends a certain signal to the body. Riding a bike is a stressor that sends a certain signal to the body. Lifting weights is a stressor that sends a certain signal to the body. So everything that we do is a stressor. Every movement we make is a type of stressor that sends a signal to the body, especially repetitive movements. Now, when you run long bouts, when you do long bouts of cardio, the signal you're sending to your body is for your metabolism to adapt. And the way that your metabolism is going to adapt is by slowing down and becoming more efficient, because it has to be like a Prius. I talked about this in the last episode. It has to be like a Prius, right? Priuses get like 80, 90 miles to the gallon. They burn fuel very slowly, okay? And the fuel is your calories. And what you want to do is you want to have your metabolism in a day and age like this, where food is readily available anytime and anywhere, you want to have a faster metabolism. It makes more sense to have a faster metabolism because we can eat whenever we want. So we can just burn fuel like crap, like crazy. We can just keep burning calories. And that's how you're going to lose body fat and look leaner. So by speeding up your metabolism, it's kind of like a Chevy Silverado with a 5.3 liter V8 in it, right? It gets like crap miles to the gallon, and it uses a lot of fuel. It burns a lot of calories. So you want to make your metabolism faster and less efficient so that you burn more calories at rest. Now, that being said, that's the signal you're sending to your body when you're doing long bouts of cardio is, I need to get better at cardio. And the way that you get better at cardio is your metabolism becomes more efficient.
Yes. All good stuff. Second mistake.
Yes. Okay.
I feel like he touched it all. I don't want to mess anything up. Yeah. Second mistake that this article goes into is doing crunches and sit-ups to get flat abs.
Hip.
And I think what's super important, especially in this mistake, is that your abs, and again, I'm reading because I'm not an expert on this subject, your abs were not designed to crunch, twist, and bend. In fact, it's the complete opposite. The real role of your abdominal muscles is to prevent your midsection from crunching, twisting, and bending. So your abs are a stabilizing force designed to resist movement in order to protect your spine.
Yeah, but the thing with that is, if you want to grow your abs, you have to do these movements that are going to cause the muscle to go through a full muscle contraction and train them like you would train any other muscle. Now, for the average person, the average Joe, who's just trying to lose weight, I think stabilization exercises is probably the best way to go to get your core to do, to be better at the job that it has to do, is stabilize. And if you can get your core to do better at that, that's great. At least for now, you know, until we get to the point where we're starting to reveal abs. Is there a purpose for somebody who's still got a bunch of belly fat and trying to lose weight to do weighted reach-ups? Not really. Not really. They're, you know, in my opinion, you're kind of better off doing basic core stabilization exercises and rotational exercises like a wood chop, right? Like a wood chop and planks. Just two basic ones to get your to be able to hit your entire core with the wood chop and get your, and then train your core to stabilize with the planks.
Wait, what is a wood chop?
Wood chop's like a diagonal thing with a cable machine, and you rotate your torso.
Oh, it's like chopping. Okay.
Yeah, wow, imagine chopping wood across your body. That's basically a wood chop. Yes, I have. It's fun. Unless you have to do it all the time, then I'm sure it's not very fun.
Lumberjack.
All right, third mistake. And some of you might be a little shocked about this because I actually was. But the third mistake is using gym machines.
100%.
And the problem that the article says is that machines alter the way your body naturally moves, restricting your range of motion. This severely limits your ability to fully activate all of your muscle fibers, which means less fat burning and less muscle toning.
Now, machines do have their place. 100% machines do have their place. But one thing to remember is the fact that machines are made for the average person. They're designed around the average human being. And none of us are average. Nobody's average. Not one single person is average, right? We all are different. So, you know, you are then conforming your body to move a certain way that maybe it's not designed to move like.
But you can adjust it.
You can adjust it, but still, there's only so much adjusting you can do. I'm fighting for machines. Don't, like, listen, they have their, they have their application. Like, every other fucking fitness tool out there, like foam rollers, like supplements, like resistance bands, they all have their applications. It's how you implement them that matters, right? You know, if your staple go-to movements are on machines, you might want to rethink what you're doing.
Or get creative.
Or
I've seen just, some bodybuilders like use it completely differently than what it's supposed to be like.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking in the mic.
Not at
I'm
all.
I'm like looking right at you like, hey, man.
You were not talking in your microphone at all.
It's okay.
All right. Can I move on? Do you want to say anything more?
What about cables?
Cables are a little bit different you can, because,
yeah.
Because you, there's more of a resistance there.
Not more of a resistance. There's less of a restriction with how you move.
Because I was thinking
you
like,
can still move the way that your body moves.
I was thinking of chest flies.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Go for it, Maggie.
All right, mistake number four. Repeating the same workouts over and over.
We're creatures of habit. We are creatures of habit.
Wait, what is it? Isn't it like every 6 weeks you're supposed to change your...
It varies person to person.
Yeah, and I was going to say, everybody's going
to
be different.
4 to 6 weeks. 4 to 6 weeks, you want to change something up.
Boom, roasted.
Oh, yeah.
And not just one thing either. Listen, that means you could literally sit down once a month and plan your whole month of workouts out. That's not that hard. In my opinion, that's really not that hard. But that's why we're here, because we offer that service to you. Look at that. Look at that advertisement thrown in there so slyly.
Keep doing it, yeah.
ExecutiveFitLLC.com and you can check out all of our online personal training options or hop on High Speed Anabolic, the best program to build your body and learn how to train yourself for the way that benefits you the most. Both of those things are online personal training packages and High Speed Anabolic. You get access to the closed training Facebook group as well as access to the training app where you track your workouts, track your progress, track your meals, all good stuff. And with High Speed Anabolic, you also get 9 PDF downloads to help you along the way.
All right. Mistake number 5. I actually thought we were done because usually that's said at the end. Anyway, mistake number 5, doing long workouts.
Yeah. That's
100%.
Doing long workouts. Sorry if I cut anybody off. Do not equal better or faster results. If you've been slaying away at the gym and your body isn't visibly changing, you can't do more of the same thing and expect a different result.
That is literally the definition of insanity.
But what
doing
about,
more of the same thing and expecting a different result?
I thought you meant like the definition of the actual word insanity.
No.
I'm pretty sure it is.
We'll get back to that.
Over and over again and expecting a different result.
What about this, guys? What if you spend like 2 hours at the gym, but like most of that time is warming up in the beginning? Like 30 minutes.
Yeah, so that's the thing.
30 minute cool down or stretching kind of thing.
Yeah. Because some people could be like, I got to get out of the gym. I don't know.
That's just me freaking out. That's the thing.
Because I was like that in the beginning.
I do not count. If my warm-up takes 30 minutes, that does not count as...
a working...
Right. Like, I'm not doing working sets. I'm just warming up. I'm priming the body. I'm doing certain priming movements to get my body ready to work out.
Right.
So, if I spend 25 minutes priming my body because I just wasn't feeling it and I had to do certain movements to get myself ready... certain stretches, certain, dynamic stretching and whatever, foam rolling and whatever I do, if I just need a little bit extra time to activate certain muscles and kind of get them turned on and ready to go, like before I squat, getting my glutes ready and knowing they're ready, then so be it. You know what I mean? Because it's light movements. It's not super heavy. It's not super hard. So, yeah, I definitely don't count that towards... I kind of count my workout as starting when I do my first working set.
Right.
That's kind of how I look at it.
Right.
Boom. I looked up the definition of insanity, and it's the state of being seriously mentally ill. Madness. Not doing
close
the same,
enough.
But still, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result is kind of the definition of insanity.
It causes you to become insane.
No, it is insanity.
What causes you to become insane?
Your insanity.
Hmm.
Wait, that sounded weird.
All right, so we have one question for today.
Oh, it's not.
And this question comes from Tiffany, and Tiffany says, can a rest day still be cardio? For example, just walking a mile.
Yes.
This is a great question.
Yes.
This is an absolute great question.
On your rest days, I would say to keep your muscles flowing with blood, you know? I worded that weird.
No, you didn't. I thought that was good.
Oh, sweet.
Listen, movement will help you recover much better than just sitting on the couch and being sedentary and not doing anything. If you move, especially after leg day. So here's a prime example of this. I had one of my clients do heavy squats on Saturday, right? So he did heavy squats on Saturday, and it was a pretty intense leg workout because he did it with me. This was, he came to see me, and then I had him prescribed to do another leg workout on Monday. And now you're asking yourself, like, why would I have him do squats on Sunday and then do another leg workout on Monday? But if you looked at both of the workouts, the intensity on Saturday was super hard. Like, it was a hard workout for him and I. And then Monday, what I prescribed to him was a pretty much, like, low to moderate intense squat session with some other leg movements in there. And he bitched up a storm. He's like, why am I squatting again? Like, dude, like, I'm sore, yada, yada. Like, I know you're sore. Just trust me on this one, right? Tuesday, he texts me later in the day, and he's like, my legs feel amazing. Like, they don't hurt.
Dun, 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 dun.
And I'm like, look at that, bro. So the concept of that was, if you want to think of it this way, is moving kind of gets the blood flowing and gets the lactic acid out of the muscle.
Mm-hmm.
So... I mean, I don't know if physiologically that's exactly what's happening, but if you're dealing with, if you don't want to deal with soreness, you have to move, which is why active rest days are so important and doing things that incorporate movement in the whole body. So, yes, to answer your question, 100%, walking a mile is a great, great act, even more than a mile. Go walk. Just walk as much as you want. Active rest day. Fuck, walk all day if you feel like it.
Get those 10,000 steps.
Yeah, there ain't...
That's tough.
There ain't... No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Well, for you
How
guys...
How many steps do you have today?
Well, you're not going to be happy with this.
I have...
60,000?
Yeah, currently I'm at 16,487.
Oh, I thought you said 60,000.
I wasn't holding my phone all day.
That would be crazy.
I left my phone downstairs and I was walking around,
Yeah, basically, if you can aim for 10,000 steps a day, that's great. Today, personally, I hit 16,487.
Well, what's your most?
Let's
see if I can beat
you. I don't know.
Beat you in one thing. Oh my God.
I'm not sure, but I'm pretty much, 5 days out of the week, I'm hitting more than what I need to. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, Monday through Friday, I'm hitting more than 10,000 steps. And then Saturday and Sunday is usually right around 5,000. I'm, like, just about hitting half. But I spend a lot of time Saturday and Sunday sitting on my computer and doing stuff for the business. But, yeah, steps are a great way to track how you're moving, just movement in general. And that's what's going to carry over more than just killing a workout and then not moving for the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we've talked about this before, how you can kill a workout and then do nothing, and it's not going to benefit you as good as if you kill a workout and walk 1,000 steps a day compared to 0 steps a day.
Right.
So with that, thanks for listening to this episode of Drive with Woody Fit. I'm your host, Nate Woods.
With Megan Woods.
And Michael Stewart.
And we're really glad that you spent this hour listening to this episode of our show. And if you like the show and you like what we're doing, leave us a rating and review in your podcast player of choice. Or leave us a review on our Facebook page at Executive Fit. You can find us on Instagram at Executive Fit, Facebook at Executive Fit LLC, and YouTube at Executive Fit LLC, where we have an extensive exercise library for you to pick and choose exercises from. It's not quite done yet. You know, we got the basics of the exercise library down, but we're always continuing on improving it, making it better, adding more exercises, adding more in-depth explanations and whatnot. Thanks for listening to this episode of Drive with Woody Fit.